As President of the United States, I have the honor and the privilege to pick thousands of appointees to positions, four positions in federal government. Each is important and deserves a great deal of care, for each individual called upon to make his or her contribution, often at personal sacrifice, to shaping the policy of the nation. Thus, each has an obligation to you in varying degrees, has an impact on your life. In addition, as president, I have the privilege to make a certain number of nominations which have a more lasting influence on our lives, for they are the lifetime appointments of those men and women called upon to serve in the judiciary, in our federal district courts and courts of appeals. These individuals dispense justice and provide for us these most cherished guarantees of protections of our criminal and civil laws. But without doubt, the most awesome appointment guarantees, is a guarantee to us of so many things, because it is a president. As a president, I can make an appointment to the United States Supreme Court. Those who sit in the Supreme Court interpret the laws of our land and truly do leave their footprints on the sands of time. Long after the policies of presidents and senators and congressmen of any given era may have passed from public memory, they'll be remembered. After very careful review and consideration, I have made a decision as to my nominee to fill the vacancy on the United States Supreme Court created by the resignation of Justice Stewart. Since I'm aware of the great amount of speculation about this appointment, I want to share this very important decision with you as soon as possible. Needless to say, most of the speculation is centered on the question of whether I would consider a woman to fill this first vacancy. As the press has accurately pointed out, during my campaign for the presidency, I made a commitment that one of my first appointments to the Supreme Court vacancy would be the most qualified woman that I could possibly find. Now, this is not to say that I would appoint a woman merely to do so. That would not be fair to women, nor to future generations of all Americans whose lives are so deeply affected by decisions of the court. Rather, I pledge to appoint a woman who meets the very high standards that I demand of all court appointees. I have identified such a person. So today, I'm pleased to announce that upon completion of all the necessary checks by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, I will send to the Senate the nomination of Judge Sandra Day O'Connor of Arizona Court of Appeals for confirmation as an Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. She is truly a person for all seasons, possessing those unique qualities of temperament, fairness, intellectual capacity, and devotion to the public good which have characterized the 101 brethren who have preceded her. I commend her to you, and I urge the Senate's swift bipartisan confirmation so that as soon as possible she may take her seat on the court and her place in history.
Do you agree with her position on abortion, Mr. President?
I said I'm going to turn all questions to the Attorney General here and let him answer the questions. All of those questions the Attorney General is prepared to answer.
But Mr. President, you have such a firm position on that. Can you give us your feelings about her position?
I am completely satisfied.
On her right to life position?
Yes.
And did you interview her personally?
Yes. There. I took a couple of questions.
Thank you. But the FBI checks have not been completed. Is that correct, Mr. Attorney?
That is correct.
Do you think it was sound to make a nomination public before vital FBI checks had gone into the background so thoroughly that you knew there wasn't any problem there?
We have gone into her background quite thoroughly. We're well aware of the fact that there have been times in the past when the FBI check has been concluded before the nomination has been sent up. In this case, the president has announced his intention to nominate, of course, subject to the FBI check. And once that's completed, then the nomination will be sent up.
Mr. Attorney General, what about the opposition of the Right to Life groups? There's been a great deal of that since Mrs. O'Connor's name has surfaced.
Well, as the president has stated, he is satisfied with her position and her record with respect to the right to life issue, and her record in that respect is is for all to see, and I'm sure that that may be one of the aspects that will be considered during her confirmation hearing, but I want to emphasize the fact that there has not been a single issue determination made in connection with this selection. Mrs. O'Connor has been considered with respect to her overall qualifications and background, and there has not been any effort to focus in on any one issue and judge her on that basis.
You have picked her because she is a conservative, have you not? I mean, she has been.
Of what her feelings
are and where she stands on the issue.
She has been chosen because of her overall qualifications and background.
It has nothing to do with her political leanings.
If you want to call it political leanings, that were taken into consideration was whether or not she fell generally within the president's overall judicial philosophy.
Can you tell us about the process of selection now? Exactly when was the decision made? Was it last night?
The decision was made yesterday, but of course the process has been an extended one. It commenced when we first learned of Justice Potter Stewart's determination to resign. That was late last March. We had the intervening problem, of course, of the shooting incident, which delayed matters a bit. We also respected Judge Stewart's request that his resignation not be made public until June 18. Despite that fact, however, we did what was necessary within that constraint to develop candidates that we would present to the president for his consideration, and that process was...
How many were there?
Well, it's a little hard to say at any one time. We had a rather extensive list of very highly qualified people. It's a little hard to put a number on it. I would say that during my first presentation to the president, there may have been 20 or 25 names on the list.
When was that, sir?
That would have been... sometime, I believe, in early June.
You mentioned her overall qualifications. What are they? Can you be more specific about?
Well, she has an outstanding academic record. She graduated from Stanford with highest honors when she was 20. She graduated from Stanford University Law School when she was 22, also with highest honors. She was Order of the Coif in her second year. And since that time, of course, she's had a wide-ranging experience both in the legislative branch in Arizona and also in the judicial branch.
What about her judicial record?
Her judicial record?
Yeah.
Well, we found it to be quite satisfactory. We naturally read all of her opinions. We have discussed her qualifications, her outlook, her judicial philosophy with a large number of people, and we have... heard nothing but good.
Let's
just go back to Helen Thomas's question on the president's desire that he appoint someone who would interpret the law and not make it. Are you satisfied, and would you expand on your answer as to whether this nominee fits that category?
We think she definitely does.
Why?
In other words, we're satisfied that that she looks upon the judicial function as being one which is intended to interpret and apply the law and not to make it. The president is satisfied that she recognizes that it is the elected representatives of the people who should be enacting the laws, and that it is the function of the judiciary to interpret and apply those laws. And in reviewing her opinions alone, in addition to the responses that we've had from numerous inquiries, we're satisfied that that is what she has done.
When did she first become a candidate?
She was on the original list, which would go back two or three months, yes.
You mentioned her judicial philosophy a minute ago. What did you mean by that?
Well, just what I've just said. In other words, we're satisfied that she views the function of the judiciary to be to interpret and apply the law, not to make it. And, of course, that accords with the president's judicial philosophy, which, saying another way, is that It is the responsibility of the elected representatives of the people to enact laws and not that of the judiciary.
Was she the best qualified woman candidate or the best qualified candidate?
We were fortunate to have on the list a large number of very qualified people, and she was one of those.
Is she the last woman that we're going to see this president nominate to the Supreme Court now that he has fulfilled a campaign commitment?
I'm sure that in the future the president will do what he did this time. He will look at the overall list of candidates, and from that list he will make a selection, and that could be a male or a female.
Would you like to be the next nominee?
Your name has come up frequently.
How long?
Thank you, no.
Can you explain what the president meant by saying he was satisfied with her views on abortion? Has she expressed them specifically to him, and has she modified them in any way in recent times?
So far as we know, she has not modified her views. We've been satisfied that they have been consistent and that that her record in this respect is satisfactory to the president.
When did she see the president? How long did the interview take place? And who else in the administration interviewed her, please?
Well, I don't want to get into the specifics as far as who was interviewed and how long, but I can say that the president did interview her, and he... Well, it would have been on July 1st when he had an extended discussion with her.
You say you've read her opinions. What are her opinions on legalized abortion?
Well, I didn't say that that she had any judicial opinions dealing with that subject. I said that she had a certain record in the Arizona legislature with respect to that, and that's open for all to see.
Again, how long did the president...
Well, he met with her, of course, in the Oval Office. I can't tell you offhand how long it was, but it was certainly sufficient for him to accomplish what was intended to be accomplished in such an interview.
Did you interview her, sir?
Make pardon?
Did you interview?
Oh yes.
Did he
on various occasions?
One of the votes in the legislature. One of the votes in the legislature, I understand, was to legalize abortion under certain conditions in Arizona. A vote she cast in 1970. How does that square with the president's philosophy?
Well, as a matter of fact, I don't think you can. I think what you've said is not necessarily an accurate representation of what happened there. But. But I don't think that there's any point in my trying to dissect what happened on the floor of the legislature in Arizona. That is a matter of public record, and it is, as I say, open for all to see, and will undoubtedly be a subject of discussion later on.
We're upset with the fact that the FBI checks have not been completed, and this was sort of a rushed announcement this morning. There are going to be many who are going to feel that she was named today because opposition has been mounting, particularly from right-to-life groups.
This has not been a rushed procedure in any sense. It has been a very thoughtful procedure. It has commenced... Well, the announcement was an announcement which was made when the announcement was intended to be made. If you can call that rushed, I suppose that's rushed. But actually, the whole process has been a very efficient, effective, orderly process. And we're very satisfied with both the timing and the occasion.
Were outside groups consulted, like the ABA? Was Berger consulted? Was Stewart?
With respect to all of the candidates... there was a great in-depth review and discussion, analysis, research, opinion reading, everything that was done that was required, not only with respect to this candidate, but with respect to other candidates, to determine basic qualifications and talent, background, and so on.
If the process reviews the candidates.
Yes, certainly.
If the process was
so orderly, Mr. Attorney General, why then were the FBI checks not made prior to this announcement this morning?
Well, we're quite satisfied from our own investigation of the background and the factual basis of this situation, and we're content that to announce an intent to nominate, subject to the FBI check. If something should develop there that we're not aware of, then we'll react to that situation. But we don't consider that to be a particularly unusual circumstance.
What specific opinions of hers manifested the philosophy that you were seeking?
Well, I don't think I can get into the specifics here, but the opinions did indicate that as an appellate judge, for example, that she did not attempt to substitute her judgment for that of the trial court, but she reacted in accordance with the appropriate appellate restraint. There are specific examples of that, and certainly enough to satisfy us that overall, that together with other factors, that she fits within the president's judicial philosophy.
Did you inquire into her feelings on the exclusionary rule?
Well, during this process, we discussed a whole category of issues, and once again, no single position, no single issue, was in any way determinative. It was a matter of looking at the whole spectrum of her activities, background, viewpoints.
Who are the people in Washington who recommended her to you?
Well, I don't think it'd be appropriate for me to discuss that aspect of it.
What effect do you think the opposition of these right to life groups?
Beg pardon?
What effect do you think the opposition of these right to life groups and other groups would have on her confirmation?
Well, having gotten into her background to a substantial degree, we're satisfied that she will have no problem as far as confirmation is concerned. We're also satisfied that no single issue will dominate or determine as far as the confirmation process is concerned.
Why are you so certain of that?
Beg pardon?
Why are you so certain of that?
Well, insofar as any congressional hearing is concerned, I suppose one shouldn't be too certain about anything. But that certainly is our evaluation and conclusion at this point.
Are other candidates interviewed by the president?
Well, I think it would not be appropriate for me, again, to get into the process as far as specifics are concerned.
It's a simple question, though.
It's a simple question, but I don't think it's appropriate to respond because I think that it would do a disservice to other candidates for me to try to become specific as to who was interviewed, who was not interviewed, how many were interviewed.
Well, that's whether or not who or how many. Were there other candidates interviewed by the president?
Well, as I say, I don't think it would be appropriate for me to get into that.
When do you expect the formal nomination to be ready to be sent to the Senate and to be sent to the Senate?
Just as soon as possible, and certainly would be at the conclusion of the FBI check, and we would hope shorter than that. We would hope, for example, to expedite the FBI check.
When will hearings be scheduled, sir? Do you have any idea? Is it going to be in the fall after the August recess?
Well, we would hope to have hearings scheduled just as soon as possible. We haven't had the occasion to discuss that with Chairman Thurman yet and haven't determined upon a specific date, but certainly we would hope to have it as soon as possible so that if it is at all likely, we could have the nominee confirmed in time for the opening of the fall term of the court.
When was Senator Thurman informed of your choice?
Well, Senator Thurman has been aware of various candidates. He was informed of the president's decision shortly after he made it.
Sir,
which would have been I believe this morning.
Sir, now that you've examined her record, could you tell us what percentage of her opinions have subsequently been upheld or overturned by the Supreme Court?
By the Arizona Supreme Court? No, I'm afraid I couldn't.
Attorney General William French Smith answering the questions this morning after President Reagan's announcement, and if you tuned in late, he did announce that he is nominating Sandra D. O'Connor, 51 years old, an appellate court judge in Arizona, to fill the vacancy on the Supreme Court. White House correspondent Bill Plant is in the briefing room where the announcement was made this morning. Bill, it sounds to me as if that although the Attorney General said there was a long list of candidates, there was so little speculation about anyone except Mrs. O'Connor, it seems as if they may have settled on Mrs. O'Connor or Miss O'Connor sometime last week.
Well, Bob, we were hearing as early as Thursday of last week that it was going to be Mrs. O'Connor unless something bad about her background surfaced, which nobody expected to happen. And as you see, they've gone ahead with this nomination with finishing the FBI checks. They're that confident that there'll be nothing bad uncovered. The list was relatively short in the last 2 weeks, probably no more than five or six people really seriously being considered, two or three of them women. And Mrs. O'Connor's name seemed to be at the top almost from the outset.
Bill, the questioning today seemed to suggest that there is going to be some opposition from right-to-life groups because of Judge O'Connor's, some of her votes in the state Senate on abortion issues.
Bob, that opposition does stem from her term in the Arizona legislature, but it's hard to say just how widespread it'll be or how large a campaign will be mounted, if in fact one is, to stop her nomination. I would think that the Senate Judiciary Committee under the chairmanship of Senator Thurmond will be rather sympathetic to the president's choice to Mrs. O'Connor.
Bill, do you have any idea why the president himself didn't take questions today? We all know, of course, he had kind of a difficult time in his last press conference, which was his first press conference after the shooting. But why on an issue of this importance would he not take the questions himself, do you suppose?
Well, Bob, I think the plain fact is that the president's staff, his senior aides, believe that any time he subjects himself to questions, the questions will inevitably get off the day's subject and on to other issues on which the president has not been briefed, and thereby give him an opportunity to trip up. That is why they don't like him to take the questions. They always bring somebody else out. This is more or less the norm around here these days.
Bill Plant, thank you very much. Our law correspondent, Fred Graham, is in the studio here with me. Fred, what kind of a justice will Judge O'Connor make?
Bob, she's going to be a lot like Potter Stewart, the justice who she will replace. And there's a certain irony there because President Reagan had conflicting political goals here. He wanted to appoint a woman, and he wanted to appoint someone, as his aide said, a lot like Justice Rehnquist, very right-wing, very conservative. It's clear from the questioning here that she is not that. She's a centrist. And he had to make a choice between being the president to appoint the first woman to the Supreme Court after 101 men, and whether he wanted that or whether he wanted a real, solid conservative. And he has picked the woman. I think the court will not now change much. Another reason why he didn't want to answer questions at this time, the president was understood to be committed to a certain extent to appointing someone who might be opposed to abortion. There was wording to that effect in the Republican platform, and it appears, based on her record, that she doesn't quite fit into that category.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Now, what do you make of this? As the questioning clearly suggested, there's considerable opposition to this from some of the right-to-life groups.
Well, I think they're going to have a hard time proving it. She has never decided a case as a judge involving abortion. Cases like that usually don't come to state courts. They come to federal courts. She'll get them now. And I think this may be one of those instances, of which there have been many, where a president picked a person for the Supreme Court and then he can't pull the strings once they get on there. And I wouldn't be at all surprised, based on what we know about her political background, that I would assume that she probably will not be the kind of anti-abortionist justice that perhaps the president may have liked.
Were you a bit surprised by the timing today, Fred?
Well, it came earlier than we had been told that the president was going to circulate these names to the American Bar Association's committee that checks on judges, and to the FBI. And I do wonder, the question that was asked at the press conference, did they rush it in order to head off opposition from the right wing?
That, of course, is a question I guess we'll be talking about all day. Judge O'Connor has not made any comments yet. She is at her home, we are told, in Phoenix. We're also told that reporters are camped outside her door, so no doubt we'll be hearing from her later today. One other note about her academic record, the Attorney General William French Smith mentioned that she finished third in her class, law school class at Stanford. The person who finished first in that class was Justice Rehnquist, and if she is indeed confirmed, as the administration seems confident that she will be joining him on the Supreme Court. So to recap, President Reagan today nominates the first woman to fill a vacancy on the Supreme Court. She is Arizona Appellate Judge Sandra D. O'Connor, 51 years old. I'm Bob Schieffer, CBS News, Washington. Good day.